From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. We'll talk about Greg Sankey's comments regarding the Egg Bowl today. We will discuss a little bit of the media op that happened yesterday with Matt Luke, the coordinators, and five different Rebels in anticipation of Thursday night's Egg Bowl between the Bulldogs and the Rebels in Starkville. So that's coming up on today's show, brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon on Highway 6 West in Oxford. Remember, after every Ole Miss basketball game, use that ticket as a coupon for the Oxford Crystal. It's $150 off a steamer pack or a sack full there with the Oxford Crystal. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call the number and ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes. In business hours, it's right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote. The rest is up to you. And you can use that quote. You can shop, use it as a baseline moving forward, or you can do the smart thing, and that's get into a Clark Ford today. The service is amazing. The product is awesome as well. Corey takes really good care of you, and it's that simple. So right to the bottom line, 662-257-1900.
Trying to adjust your camera. We'll see if it can get it to click correctly or not. But anyway. Okay. So, yeah. Rain expected in Oxford today. It looks like a little later on.
Going to rain hard today.
Is it really?
I think so.
Yeah. I'm trying to actually get some golf in today because the temperature was pretty good. But I don't know if that's going to be overly doable. So, we didn't talk about this yesterday. Got to ask about on the in the live stream. And we had not seen these comments. But Parrish offered of the Tupelo. What is that noise? Is that the garbage truck? That is really loud.
It's what it is. It's not even the garbage truck. It's the construction trucks that are going back into the back of the neighborhood, and we have speed bumps, and they just fly
not big on the speed bumps.
They fly over them. It's bizarre.
Really?
Yeah.
You look real tickled about that.
It gets old. I keep waiting for one of them to snap the axle in half, doing it so I can go outside and laugh.
Is that your one ULM piece of apparel?
It is, yeah.
You have one?
It's the only one I've got.
You have a helmet.
I do have a helmet. Where's the helmet?
It's over here. It's on the bottom.
Okay.
Do you have any of the old Northeast Louisiana stuff?
No, I wish I did.
You know, Parrish Alford, speaking of, he has the hat. It's like the old-timey whatever.
My parents
I'll get the helmet for those on the live.
My parents have like a shot glass or something.
You have a what?
They have like a shot glass that has the NLU thing on it, yeah.
Yeah, here's the helmet for people on the live stream. We have a ULM helmet in the building.
It's a good helmet.
Did you get it when they were in town?
Yeah, they play. I can probably tell a story now.
Sure.
Back when they did the coaches show after the games and stuff. I guess ULM played here in 2008, and
sure.
After the game, Jay Stern, who was with University Production.
Statute of limitations is over. Jay lives in Auburn now or somewhere over there.
He lives over in the Auburn area.
Yeah.
But Jay gave me the helmet.
Okay. That was nice.
Yeah, it was really nice.
I believe it was Jay years and years and years ago that helped my mother. McRae's department store did like the Century of Heroes thing in like 93.
Yeah.
The 1893 to 1993 thing. And I guess like she had not gotten it from the department store or something, needed a copy for me for Christmas or something, and called over and Jay took care of it. He handled the
How about that?
Yeah, he handled the they were like dubs. Like I didn't have like the big, you know, the real like packaging or whatever. It was just in the little white envelopes, but it was a two VHS set of one was like the history and one was like the great moments and all that kind of stuff. So yeah. He helped out with that one. So Parrish talks to Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, who is no Mike Slive, for sure, to this point of his now in saying that, big shoes to fill. Big shoes to fill.
Someone used this description of Slive. I think it was Stephen Godfrey yesterday. It was dead on. Mike Slive was a grandfather in the room, but in the boardroom, he was a gangster. People were scared of Mike Slive. Mike Slive got his way. Mike Slive took things under control. I'll never forget when Mike Slive came into the SEC.
I remember this, yeah.
At the time, the SEC was just the old wild, wild
west. It was the new Southwest Conference with Roy Kramer and the whole deal.
It was getting bad.
Yeah.
And Mike Slive said at the first media days that he oversaw, there will be no probation. And we were all like, yeah, sure, dude. You don't get it. You're coming down here from Chicago and you don't know what the hell you just said.
Yeah, that's cute.
That was funny. Yeah, we're gonna eat you alive. And that dude took control of the league. He cleaned it up. And what he did was you could cheat, because everybody cheats. But if you started cheating crazy, if you started being crazy, he'd take it under.
There is a speed limit.
He would say, got this under control.
It's like, we do all the hypotheticals. You think Mike Slive's still the commissioner, Ole Miss's deal goes a completely different direction.
Yeah, I believe this. If Mike Slive was the commissioner of the SEC when the whole Barney Farrar, Laramie Tunsil stuff got going, Hugh Freeze. Number one, Hugh Freeze's tweet that day on signing day would have lasted about 3 seconds.
Delete, 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 delete.
Hugh Freeze would have been in Birmingham literally within 24 hours, and it would have been an ass-chewing that he would never forget. Hugh Freeze would not have gotten a word in sideways, and if he had told Mike Slive, I'll pray for you, I think Mike Slive would have never heard from Hugh Freeze again. The other thing that would have happened is Barney Farrar would have either been an on-the-field coach or he would have been fired that day. No teasing. No, well, we're going to see what happens. Nope. That day would have fired him or put him on the field. And then he would have told the people around the league, all right, now shut up. Carry on. He would have never let it escalate to this place. He would never have allowed Mississippi State's players to have immunity against another SEC school. He would have just nipped that in the bud. Now, had Freeze kept doing the stuff that Slive would have told him not to do, he would have called up Ross Bjork and said, either get him now or whatever happens, happens. Fire him now or whatever happens, happens. And I know there are people out there that don't believe this, but I'm telling you, this is gospel. He absolutely would have handled it. Would have never turned into the 6-year deal. No chance.
Obviously, the SEC has the money and the power and that kind of thing. Is that simply what allowed him to have that level of stick that you just, hey, are you gonna or is it just he's a master communicator? And
He did a great job with the old Conference USA.
Yeah.
No, he's a very intelligent man. Incredible people skills and an understanding. He was one of those people, had whatever he chosen, had he decided to be a coach, for example, he would have been a great one. Had he decided to be a politician, he would have gone a long way.
That's how to influence people.
He was just an excellent leader, is what he was. And he knew how to be humble and stuff, but boy, when he walked into a room full of Steve Spurriers and Nick Sabans and those types of people, no intimidation. I'm the man. This is my room. And he understood that things went a certain way, but he was able to rein it in a league that at the time was really spiraling out of control with the cheating and the craziness and people turning each other in and getting public. And he was smart enough to know that it won't survive this way.
So now this gets back to Greg Sankey, who after last year's Egg Bowl wanted to have a meeting. They had a meeting, Cohen and Ross, and let's do the meeting. Let's have a meeting. Let's have a meeting. Let's have a meeting. And here says, giving some of his comments, which frankly aren't a whole lot to him, but nonetheless. These incidents have become too common in the series. He said last November, let's see, I'm looking for anything that actually makes sense. It's, in an interview last week, Sankey would not speculate on the possibility of penalties for either of both schools if there was a fight on this year's holiday for Goodwill and Thanksgiving. It's inappropriate for me to hypothesize, he said, which is a cop-out. Let's see.
Well, that's always his cop-out, is I don't talk about hypotheticals. I don't deal in hypotheticals.
Yeah, meaning I'm not going to answer any questions at all is what that means.
Yeah.
We've had the follow-up conversations throughout the summer with the focus really on being moving forward, an opportunity on national TV on Thanksgiving night to have the focus on the football and on the playing field rather than other aspects of the past. What's his comment here? Let's see. I'm encouraged by all of our conversations since last year. Really complimentary of both universities and our leaders. My focus, again, is on a well-played football game. I hope to be such and will not have other distractions.
It's just never an ability on his part to go, you know, the whole thing was mangled on so many fronts, ours included. I believe there was a point where it was probably time to fire Hugh Freeze. And just let it go there. And, you know, no one ever said, hey, what do we have to do to make this thing just go away? What do we have to do to not let this thing escalate into a second letter? And I mean, they're just now, what, this is the final year of the probation, is that right? Mm-hmm. Are they still on probation for another year, or what's the deal?
It's a 3-year probation starting in November of 17.
Yeah, so the probation ends next November.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Did it 8 years? Ridiculous. And look at the Missouri situation right now. Missouri's going into their final game of the season. I understand that it doesn't matter because they suck. But they're going into the final game of the season on Friday where if they win, and they're playing Arkansas, so they'll probably win, they'll have a decision to make about a bowl game. It's ridiculous that the NCAA has dragged this thing on as long as they have. Where's the SEC commissioner to go to the NCAA and go, hey, this is bullshit. Come on. We're not treating one of ours this way. You think Missouri wouldn't have an answer right now if Mike Slav were the commissioner of the SEC? My opinion is Missouri would have had an answer months ago. Might not have been the answer they wanted, but they have an answer. There wouldn't be this ambiguity of, well, what do we do?
Yeah, you're not going to move our case to the back of the list. We're going to get this thing done.
Yeah, I mean, so if Missouri beats Arkansas on Friday afternoon in Little Rock, they're 6-6, I think.
They are.
So they have, what do we do? Do we go ahead and self-impose a bowl ban on ourselves and we won't go to Shreveport? Or do we, not knowing what's coming, do we go ahead and award these seniors and go to Birmingham or Shreveport or wherever the hell they're going to go? I mean, if you're Missouri, and I know a lot of people don't really care, but if you're Missouri, that's a really bad spot to be in. And frankly, it's an unfair position for their administration to be in. And someone should hold the NCAA accountable for letting it get to this place in November. They're like 3 weeks late on this.
I get the senior argument. Don't you drop it and take the bowl, man?
I think so, but I'd like to be able to make that decision informed. I'd like to be able, I don't think that's too much to ask for Missouri to say, hey, well, why don't you allow us to know whether we can enforce this on ourselves right now, or do we wait?
Can't make anybody happy either way. You can have a segment of your people that go, no, we can't turn down. We've got to do this. We've got to do this. And you got a segment that goes, hey, look, it's the Birmingham Bowl. Who gives a?
Yeah. I mean, frankly, at this point, I think you pull the players.
Oh, I don't hate that.
You go to the players and you say, what do y'all want to do? Y'all want to spend Christmas Day in Shreveport or y'all want to go home? And I know there will be that segment of every fan base that says, oh, it's a free spring training, y'all. It's really not. Guys are beat up.
Players are checked out. That's the area.
You do get some young reps for some young guys. But in today's football, where they go year-round anyway, I don't know. I don't know how big of a deal it is. There was a time when, you know, the players left for the whole summer that yeah, bowl practices were good for young players. And they're still good for some young players. But I think for the most part, kids get to this place and they're done. I mean, the kids that need surgeries need mm-hmm. to go ahead and get the surgeries, the shoulders, the knees, the stuff like that. You don't put it off for a month necessarily to go. And you sure don't practice those guys. You're not like strapping them on and going, hey, let's hit for 15 days. It's kind of run around in the Manning Center a little bit. And it's like that everywhere. And the coaches need to get out and recruit. Frankly, a lot of the bowl practices are in the way of the recruiting schedule.
So what did you think yesterday? Thought Matt said what we expected Matt to say. From a health standpoint, Scotty's going to play. Ben's going to play. Benito's going to play. I think everybody's in pretty good shape. Jalen Jones still remains the only injured person,
yeah, I don't
right?
I think Jalen's going to play.
Yeah, I think he's out. Rich Rod again yesterday talking about not just next year, but seasons moving forward. Uh-huh. Gives a comment about how
I picked up on this before anybody else
you did.
I noticed this weeks ago that he was talking about the future.
You gave him a you've been on this move for a while, and he said that he was talking about in-game decision making and adjustments and understanding the system and whatnot, and he said, you know, it's pretty good. It's gotten better throughout the year, and it will get even better, and that's the exciting part about the years to come.
Yeah. Which implies that he's going to be there for them. Now, whether he'll be there for them, plural, I don't know. I don't anticipate – you tell me if I'm wrong. I don't anticipate any staff change.
No, I don't either. I think the only thing that I anticipate is that they're going to be careful with assistant coach – salaries and extensions and that kind of thing. I think in anticipation of the possibility of what could be coming in the future, I think that you don't roll a lot of the assistants over. You have no choice on Matt. It is what it is. That decision has been made. But on the assistants, I don't think you really move them over. And then I think Bicknell's the only coach on a one-year deal. Yeah. I think you just keep him there, roll him back over to 1 year and let
yeah.
that
– Yeah,
let,
I think let if any deal. Coaches leave, it's they're leaving on their own volition to go somewhere else. I don't think any coaches are going to be forced out. I think this staff is – going to have the option to return in mass.
Mm-hmm. So,
I think next year, more and more and more and more and more, it becomes obvious to me at least that next year is a litmus test.
Hit a little more about the players, kind of what a couple reads I had on them in a minute. First, we did that to you about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. One of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting, understand your market, a leader in condo financing, the float down option, and with rates as low as they've been in about 2 years. Good time to talk to Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
The podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. OUB also offers its customers a commercial checking account, now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account. Comes with fully interactive online banking. They can set up any local business to deposit checks from their office and not have to worry with coming to the bank daily to deposit those checks. 662-234-6668 or liveoxfordbankoxford.com for more information. And OUB is FDIC insured. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. Big part of Savannah Square, which is a new 9-acre development, 0.7 miles from the Oxford downtown square, conveniently located east of North Lamar, just a short stroll from the Midtown Shopping Center. Savannah Square initially consists of 32 standalone detached homes ranging in size from about 1,100 square feet to about 2,400 square feet. If you're coming into town sometime soon, get in touch with Harry. Look at some of the homes that are in different stages of development. Look at the model home at 215 William Street. All you got to do is check out SavannahSquareOxford.com or give Harry a call or text 662-801-5621. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan, located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi, has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals there at Grenada Nissan as well. Go in, tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. You guys know how this works by now. You give John a call. You give him some parameters. You give him a budget. And then you sit back and do nothing. He'll give you a lot of options. He'll give you options that you won't come up with on your own because you're probably not part of Virtuoso. He is. You probably haven't traveled the globe for 37 years before you got into the travel business. He did. So he'll give you the extra attention that's needed to make a special trip one that creates a lifetime of unique memories. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast.
Podcast is brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, premium lawn care throughout northern Mississippi, and a lot more as well, including custom playgrounds, retaining walls, pool decks, outdoor living spaces with paver patios, forestry mulching, and more. You can find out more at gomastercuts.com for a free quote. That same free quote at 662-607-7773. We got five different players yesterday: Scotty, Benito, Lakia, among them, John Rice.
Yep.
And somebody
John
else.
John Rice is up on the site, by the way.
Somebody else who apologize. I'm just blanking out. I'm not being
Lakia, Ben Brown.
It's Ben Brown. Yeah. That's who it was. You know, in a lot of years past, we've gotten some emotional comments. You get some of these in-state guys who are very, very vocal in this game. Didn't get that yesterday. I thought that from the player standpoint, they found the, hey, it's the Egg Bowl, it's these questions, it's whatever, frankly, the most boring, where they were not connected to them whatsoever. I didn't feel like there was any extra emotional charge in a player at all yesterday from that standpoint.
No, I agree. It was kind of funny because the only player that you got that from at all, and it wasn't really a particularly emotional, but Ben Brown, who grew up in a big Ole Miss family, and it was always a big part of his game, big part of his, you know, November, and a big part of his family and the holidays and all that stuff. So it's big to him. One of the things that's interesting was John Rhys Plumlee, who grew up in Mississippi. He said, yeah, I mean, I watched it sometimes, but only because my friends were into it. I didn't have a side.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Why do you think it is? What do you think?
Well, I mean, someone asked him this. How did you stay, you know, agnostic in it? How did you avoid, you know, a side over your childhood? And it was, well, I mean, I don't know. I was always busy. We played travel ball. And this is like one of those things with I see it with kids now. The weekend is a different thing for kids today than it was a generation ago. Play travel baseball all fall. Your Saturdays are spent with travel baseball. And John Rice played travel baseball. And he had football. And he went outside. And he just didn't. I thought it was interesting that he said he didn't really watch a lot of college football. He didn't have a team, not Ole Miss, not Mississippi State, not anybody. It was funny last night. I was talking to Campbell about there's a mumps outbreak at Arkansas. They had to give all the athletes, football players included, mumps shots yesterday in Fayetteville, and. You know, I asked her, and she said, I don't know. I don't really know anybody who keeps up with athletics. Like, they're all up there, and they know that it exists, but they don't really go. It's not a big part of what they do. There's a segment, obviously, that does, but I don't think it's as much of a discussion point on college campuses today and high school campuses today as it was a generation ago. Like, I asked Caroline, you know, was there much talk at school last week about like the Egg Bowl and stuff? And she's like, no, I mean, we talk about the Oxford game. That's about it. I just think it's different. So I think kids have different weekend schedules than they used to have.
Maybe that plays a role in it. Because, I mean, you look at what happened. I mean, we got several in-state kids yesterday. I mean, three of the five high school in-state kids. Usually, just in the past, even five, six, seven, 8 years ago, it would have been more head-to-head recruiting battles than maybe some of these, you know what I mean, some of these had, where it was, hey, I know this guy, and yeah, this is whatever, especially some of the older guys. I mean, and I guess this is a terribly different case, but there's no C.J. Johnson in this mix where C.J. would give you some opinions now, and now that got ugly, and I mean, I've written about that in Mass in the past, but you don't have that kind of emotional thing. I mean, Cody Pruitt used to just get, I mean, crazy eyes, and I mean that in a positive way. I mean, he was locked in.
I'm trying to I haven't yet heard a lot of rhetoric out of Mississippi State either. They feel like a really checked out team. I don't know that Ole Miss is I mean, for a little while it felt like the Ole Miss thing about the APR Bowl was going to be this kind of not a big motivator. I don't want to make it bigger than it is, but you could sort of sense, hey, you know, there's a chance that we could turn this into something. And I think last weekend shut a lot of those doors where now it doesn't look likely, even if Ole Miss wins, it doesn't look likely that they'll end up in an APR bowl game. I don't know. And it may be because the media, I think we're tired of this season, if we're all honest. We weren't exactly grilling people. It was as vanilla Egg Bowl Monday as I can remember.
From both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah, State's not doing anything.
I've heard nothing out of them that was like, oh, that's a headline.
I mean, they're only curious about their coach.
Yeah, and I think he's out.
I mean, you made that comment yesterday. You leaned over to me and said there's no storylines other than the opposing coach is the only thing we're really talking about right now.
Literally, think about it. What is the storyline other than the rote rivalry crap? And I don't mean that negatively. I did this at Alabama once and everybody lost their minds, but it was true. There was a couple of years where the game did not resonate outside of the state of Alabama, and that's I mean, there's been times in the not too distant future past, I should say, when this game resonated nationally. Teams were ranked, teams were good, teams were it's not that way now. Literally, the only thing on the line in this game is Mississippi State could get to 6-6 and go to one of the crap bowl games, which, frankly, is one of the reasons that I'm taking Ole Miss on the points. And if you told me this game was a blowout, I'd say Ole Miss wins a blowout. And the reason is, when I sense a team is checked out, I'll give you an example. 5-6 Ole Miss, Hugh Freeze's last game. If Ole Miss wins, they go to a bowl game. I'm not going to say those kids threw that game because I would never say that. But those kids didn't want to go to a bowl game. They were ready to go home. They had had enough.
State was locked in.
And State, for whatever reason, played really hard. And that was a blowout. And if you told me that Ole Miss went down there Thursday fairly locked in, and that State was a little checked out because they don't like this guy, they're tired of this guy, and they damn sure don't want to spend another month with him, I can see it. I can see that. I can see Mississippi State going, hey, take it.
We're kind of having the same discussion, though, a little bit. But as this thing moves toward Thursday, you've seen what's coming out of Starkville, all the Rutgers stuff. We talked about just taking the points a little bit yesterday. I'm beginning to think Ole Miss is going to be a little more engaged on Thursday than State. I think Ole Miss has an opportunity early in this game to sort of separate a little bit, frankly.
I see that.
I think.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday morning. We'll see. But
if you told me that somebody won by two touchdowns or more, I would say it's Ole Miss.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. That's what you think. If there is a blowout in this one.
Yeah. Now, if you tell me it's a close game and both teams really play hard, I don't know. Then you get back into that matchup thing where both teams sort of are they're kind of similar, really. I mean, Kylin Hill's great. Great player. Just a terrific player. And their quarterbacks run the ball pretty good. But Ole Miss is pretty good against the run. They don't particularly throw it all that well. I mean, I'll pull up. I've got the stats here somewhere because I was actually, when I was bored yesterday during the press conferences, I started looking at the numbers. This is comp- compelling podcast, I realize. Yeah, I'm trying to find it. It's right here, I think. Here we go.
Like I said, it's a throwback to back when people just did this.
Rushing offense. Ole Miss is first in the league, 261.5 yards per game. Mississippi State's third in the league, 228.5 yards per game.
Okay.
Rushing defense. Ole Miss is eighth in the league, 132 yards allowed per game. Mississippi State is 11th in the league, 149.5 yards per game. Passing offense, Ole Miss is 11th. Mississippi State is 12th. There's not much difference between the two numbers. Pass defense, Mississippi State is 13th. Ole Miss is 14th. Ole Miss is significantly behind Mississippi State, but still they both are terrible at it. Total defense, Mississippi State's 11th. Ole Miss is 12th. Total offense, Ole Miss is 3rd. Mississippi State is 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Scoring offense, Ole Miss is 8th. Mississippi State 7th, separated by 1 point. Scoring defense, Ole Miss is 11th. Mississippi State is 12th, separated by less than 2 points. Toss a coin.
No, it's who gives a crap.
Yeah, home field won't mean anything.
No.
In fact, I don't expect a real big crowd because
it's amazing. It didn't take very long for us to completely throw that storyline away like we had for over a decade of, hey, if you're the road team, you just, eh.
Eh.
Once that bubble burst, that was it. No, it's who gives a crap. It's how most did. I mean, it's football in general, especially rivalry games. One team cares more than the other. Usually that team wins.
Yeah.
Especially late in the year like this.
Yeah.
Last week. Yeah.
I don't anticipate like a pregame fight because I don't know that either side's that engaged. Sankey will take credit. He'll say, I put a stop to that.
What Mike McIntyre was talking about yesterday. This is not a shot whatsoever at like Nathaniel Gabler. He goes, hey, your first Egg Bowl. And he's like, well, it's my fifth. He was here for Cutcliffe, obviously. Yeah. But he goes, yeah, you know, I heard a little bit last year's. And my first ever Egg Bowl was they had cops at the 50 yard line because the year before was the big pregame fight. I guess 97 was the year of that. But it was a little humorous, but they were fine. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. McIntyre may get an opportunity. He may not get an opportunity. He may not get one he likes. He seems very comfortable. From a coaching staff standpoint, given all the chaos going around, I felt like the coordinators for most of the season have felt pretty comfortable about things.
Yeah. I mean, it's that big picture. Here's the problem. If let's say Ole Miss loses Thursday and a couple of the recruiting dominoes that I sort of expect to fall in a negative way fall, there's going to be people that make a correlation between the season and where those recruits went. And I don't know that it's that. I think the problem that you have late in recruiting is, I answered this in a mailbag that's going to run tomorrow. I'm trying to be diplomatic about it because I don't want to just be ridiculous.
Okay.
The programs where the fan bases / networks aren't particularly dialed in have a difficult time closing against fan bases that and networks that are optimistic.
Okay.
Like there's a network that's gaining some steam in the Eastern Division of the Southeastern Conference right now based on a few wins. That's where the winning and losing really matters. It's not really to the kid. The kids don't look at the records and go, oh, well, they went 5-7.
The kid wants to go somewhere or has the best situation to go somewhere. He'll convince himself that that's the best place for him most of the time. Yes. Whether it be, hey, I can play there. Hey, if they just had me, that L would be a W because that high school kid's the best player on his team and he thinks he is that type of difference maker even incoming as a freshman. That's just the way perception works. So, yeah, it's not about the kid. The kid will find a way. They'll figure it out. They'll hang on to something. Yeah, it's the program. It's the apathetic fan base is not going to be the fan base that's winning in a lot of recruiting battles.
Right.
Just keeping it real a little bit, and just
I'm
saying.
Just trying to kind of warn people a little without getting into specifics that seems to be the direction that a couple of big recruiting battles are going based on
really?
The latest news. Yeah. If you talk to people, screw it. If you talk to people in Memphis who are familiar with Briarcrest, they'll tell you that things are not looking good for Ole Miss with Amari Thomas. And if you talk to kids who go to Oxford High School, they'll tell you to a person they think J.J. Pegues is going to Auburn.
And Ole Miss is probably picking up some positives on this argument from a basketball standpoint.
Yeah.
Basketball fan base is becoming more energized.
Yeah.
Matthew Morrell.
I saw Matthew Morrell at the FedEx Forum wearing an Ole Miss shirt. When Ole Miss came out to start the second half, he stood up and cheered.
He was fine.
He's good.
All good.
All good.
Was he with? He was with Kennedy. Was he with Kennedy Chandler?
They were not sitting with each other. Kennedy was a couple sections over.
Okay,
I saw him too. He was not wearing any school's
any color. School. He was neutral.
He was just watching.
Okay, just there. Who's in on him?
A lot of people. North Carolina.
Well, that's not a good state to be in with.
Yeah,
that gets dangerous quick.
Ole Miss, Tennessee. I'm trying to remember who else is in on Auburn. Maybe a lot of people. He's going to have his choices.
What's your gut?
I don't know. I don't have one yet.
It's way early. Isn't
it's too early to have one on him. Got to take some visits. I think Ole Miss has a real shot.
Is that class? Is it? I mean. Is there still an add-on here? What in this current class?
No, he's in the 21
class.
No,
I'm saying this current class. Sorry, I'm backing up.
I think this current class, if they add, it's going to be going the grad transfer route. If they decide that
a couple
guys
just can't. And in basketball, you've got to evaluate that right.
Yeah.
From fit to personality, because that's got to work. That can't not work with the grad transfer route. I feel like in basketball, that's more difficult because you're – such a concise roster, and you're looking for one specific purpose that, frankly, is your weakness, and you have to fix it. So that's...
Yeah, they'll take their time. They still have some evaluation of guys to do. I mean, you can look at the end of the bench and the people who aren't playing, and you can know who they're having to evaluate.
Let's look at the live chat a little bit. Anything? Scratch-off tickets. Ole Miss has had a rough time, frankly, in Oxford and Lafayette over the years. I mean, that has not been a guarantee whatsoever.
No, and there's a lot to that. There's a lot of just dynamics to that
that are
hard to get into, really, and explain.
And I don't do it day-to-day anymore, though. It just feels like it's fewer certainties than at those local schools in a lot of other places. I mean, I get AJ Brown left Starkville. Well, I understand all that, and there's outliers. There are outliers everywhere, but it feels like on the whole, and some of this is just the programs, I guess. But I feel pretty good about that kid from Tuscaloosa County going to Alabama. I feel pretty good about the kid from Opelika going to Auburn if they really, really get down to it.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide how I can even phrase what I want to say, and I don't think I can. I don't know that I'm thinking clearly enough to.
Okay.
To thread that needle. There's a... Yeah, I don't know how to do it. And everybody's so sensitive with certain things now that you just can't... I just think it's... The university's relationship with the community is complicated.
I should think about it through the break. Maybe we'll come back. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll go to something else. But anyway, Tyson Drugs and G&M Pharmacy, G&M right there on South Lamar in Oxford, 662-236-2222. With flu season approaching quickly, Tyson Drugs and G&M have flu vaccines available with Zuidar copay on most insurance plans. No one has time to wait in line for the overworked pharmacist on the chain drugstores. Stop by one of their locally owned pharmacies. They have multiple pharmacists available daily to get you in and out as quickly and painlessly as possible. Tyson Drugs on the square in Holly Springs and G&M located off South Lamar and Oxford. Again, that number is 662-236-2222.
I'll have my mailbag up tomorrow. It is brought to you by the Westin Jackson. The Westin Jackson's a Marriott property in downtown Jackson. It is home to Soul Spa, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. It's also home to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, where you can sip on a creative craft cocktail, enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships, so gather at Estelle tonight. Also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. We'll be taping a Mind on My Money podcast here in a little more than an hour. That will be available to you at some point tomorrow. It is brought to you by Pinnacle Trust, which is also home to the Pinnacle Trust Advisory Services Team, 401k Advisory Services Team. If your 401k is not operating at the level that you would like to see it for your business, get in touch with them. They'll conduct a complimentary, no obligation benchmarking and analysis of your current 401k plan. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the Oxford Exxon podcast. You'll get 10% off of your first year's fee. It's pintrust.com, pinntrust.com. I got up this morning, Chase, early, and did photos and captions for all of the multitude of games that we are going to pick over the course of this holiday weekend. Those picks, which will be published on Thursday, are sponsored by Southern Craft Stove and Tap. It's located off Highway 7 at Sisk Avenue. Southern Craft Stove and Tap places an emphasis on food and atmosphere, mixing the quality of fine dining with a come-as-you-are environment, featuring 30 craft beers and offering a high-quality selection of cuisine and libations. Southern Craft Stove and Tap has you covered for any occasion. Join them for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, or have your favorites catered out. Catering orders placed online receive $25 off any order totaling $100 or more, so avoid the chaos of parking on the square. Head over and experience carefully crafted dishes with your favorite Southern ingredients. Southern Craft Stove and Tap, Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue in Oxford.
You've been talking about it for a while, too. We've discussed it since the Super Bowl last year. The Ravens obviously are very good, but 45-6 last night over the Rams. Is LA done? I mean, is this just...
I think it's two things. One, Lamar Jackson is...
He's the MVP cannon leader right now.
Yeah. He's just having a phenomenal season. I'm starting to think that his coach, John Harbaugh, is right when he says he might be revolutionizing the quarterback position.
Five TD passes last night.
Yeah. He's more than a runner. A lot more than a runner. And then the Rams, the importance of offensive line play. And for whatever reason, their offense looks broken. They just, their window closed on them.
It was only open for 2 years, though.
NFL windows are designed to be small. That's why what the Patriots have done defies logic.
In some way, what the Saints have done.
I was getting ready to say what the Saints have done.
They haven't won but one, but yeah.
But they've been competitive all these years in a row, and it's not really designed to be that way.
I think the Patriots are as competitive as they're in a different division. I know they're that good anyway, but do you think it would be a little more whatever?
Maybe, but I'm not prepared to do that. I think Belichick's the greatest coach in the history of the league, and I think Brady is the GOAT. When all of his peers say Brady's the GOAT, he's the GOAT. There's something about them and that organization and what they've been able to do that no matter who the parts are, they just keep rolling. And they just keep rolling. The only team that's gotten them this year is the Ravens.
Baltimore now 9-2 on the season. The Rams now at 6-5 and in deep trouble. And not even just from a record standpoint, from just an overall standpoint. To that one. We didn't add in the Monday night game to pick, so we were already done on Sunday, right?
Right.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wasn't 100% sure.
We are picking the Monday game next week.
Are we? Yes. Who's the Monday game next week?
Minnesota at Seattle, because I like to throw the Seahawks at you sometimes just to remind you that they're there.
You like to just don't let me forget about Seattle, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
You think they're going to be a problem later?
I think they're a potential problem. I think they're a team that
there's several problems.
Is going to keep you awake.
I think the Vikings are a bad matchup. The 49ers are most certainly a problem. There are problems.
They're legit.
Yeah, there are. They're good. We look at this every single week on Tuesday. We'll do that now. The NFL playoff picture after 11 games or so, after week 12, I guess, is what it was. New England still has the one spot there at 10-1. Baltimore a game back at 9-2. And then if the playoffs started today, the Texans would host the Steelers in round one, and the Chiefs would host the Buffalo Bills in round one. The Bills at 8-3. Have a two-game lead over the sixth seed in the five spot. And then in that 6-5 category, a lot of teams. The Steelers would have the tiebreaker, but the Steelers, the Raiders, the Colts, and the Titans are all tied for the last playoff spot in the AFC as of right now. So by scratch, you'd have Texans at Ravens, and you'd have Chiefs at Patriots in round two if it went scratch.
Texans at Ravens would be an entertaining game. I would like the Ravens as an overwhelming favorite.
Yeah.
Patriots and Chiefs in New England.
It would be in New England.
It would be fun to watch. Could Patrick Mahomes get it done?
He at least gives you a chance.
My guess is no.
Yeah, mine too.
And then a Baltimore-New England AFC Championship game in. I am locked in.
Starting to really get some separation a little bit in the NFC, it looks like, at least for five teams. The sixth one's still up for grabs. As of right now, the 49ers would get the one seed, although they have a one-game lead on the Saints, and they do head to New Orleans in a couple weeks for that one. The Saints have the two seed, and if the playoffs started today, the Packers would host the Vikings, and the Cowboys would host the Seahawks in week one.
Seattle would beat Dallas, my opinion.
And then they would get, as long as, well, it would depend, but if went scratch and the Packers beat the Vikings, then the Packers would play the Saints and the 49ers would play the Seahawks.
Whew.
That'd be a weekend, wouldn't it?
That 49ers-Seattle game would get a little chippy.
Yeah.
They see each other way too much.
Yeah. Seattle kind of does it with everybody. You know, they hate the Rams, starting to hate the 49ers a little bit too.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals are just kind of over there as a little engine that can't.
I would give the Seattle Seahawks an edge in a 49ers game based on playoff experience. And then a New Orleans-Green Bay game in the Dome. Whoa. I think I like New Orleans in that.
That defense looked rough on Sunday. Second week in a row where things didn't exactly – or 2 out of 3 weeks. They were okay against Tampa Bay last week. Tampa Bay sucks, but
– Panthers played pretty well, though. And I think
Schulte Pulse kind of came back.
When the Saints took the 2-score lead,
they put off the gas a little bit.
A little bit. I think that's their tendency a little.
But the playoff picture is pretty much set because the Vikings have the 6th seed at 8-3, and the Rams are in 7th at 6-5, a 2-game lead there. And then the Bears are next, and there's no way in the world they're catching anybody.
Oh, come on, that offense.
The Eagles are 5-6. If you told me they made a bit of a run, I wouldn't be blown away. But they're not winning the game. They're not beating anybody.
I watched them last week because I was in here working on 10 Thoughts, and they were playing who'd Philly play? Because I got it right, Seattle. This can't score. They're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't score. I like Carson Wentz a lot. Seems like a good dude, but it's just not working.
They're average.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're that team where you kind of look up and go, well, the pieces are okay, maybe. And they've done it before. They've got a great coach. He's very, very good.
Well, I think that's part of it is that they've made a couple of these late season runs, and everybody's waiting for another one to happen.
So if I told you a wild card team made the Super Bowl, you would take the Seahawks out of either side.
Yeah, I would take whoever's that West team, Seattle or San Francisco. Whoever ends up not winning the division, I think, is perfectly capable of making
the playoffs. That's true, because I didn't really realize that. The Seahawks are only a game back of the 49ers,
yeah,
and they play each other.
Yeah.
Is it in Seattle?
I'm not sure.
Where it's loud?
Yeah, that's the only place where there's cheering allowed in football. It's kind of crazy.
Let's see. Let's look at that.
Would you be nervous about a New Orleans at Seattle NFC title game? Would it just freak you out?
No, because I would have no expectations whatsoever of winning that game. I mean, there wouldn't be a chance in hell. I would get every flashback to the Marshawn Lynch running through the Saints as the wild card team that day.
Yeah.
That when I just turned the game off at one point. Then they made a little bit of a run late, and I turned it back on and then still got pissed off.
It's been amazing how fast Carson's gone from I'm dialed into the NFL to checked the hell out.
Oh, that's all it took?
Done.
Yeah, this is actually kind of interesting. Seattle, the rest of the way, they have Minnesota, as we mentioned, on Monday night.
Probably a win.
If you could get a pulse, this is a weird game. I don't think they can because, frankly, LA's problem is the offensive line. Goff has no chance in the world. They're just getting killed up front right now. But they go to LA the next week. So Minnesota at LA, at Carolina, Arizona, San Francisco.
Oof. They could get on a roll.
I know. They could get a little bit of a roll. The 49ers, meanwhile, finish up with, let's see, where is it? Baltimore next.
Yeah, at Baltimore, tough.
And then at New Orleans.
Tough.
2 weeks in a row.
Still
it's a good week for the Saints to catch the 49ers.
Still Seattle.
Yeah, but then they've got they're Atlanta at home, L.A. at home, at Seattle. That's their close. They could still lose three more.
Yeah.
49ers actually could go 12-4 and be a sack of hell wild card team as a 5 seed. that somebody's looking up going, hey, hey.
Well, the NFC is going to be tough with the exception
That's the interesting side.
The exception of Dallas. And I know we have got some Dallas fans out there because every time I pick against them and Dallas wins, people jump me.
You get a little bit of that?
I get a little bit of that for whatever reason. But they're not good enough to go on a roll. They're just not. They're not good enough to roll through the NFC playoffs. They're not. I'm not convinced Green Bay is either. I think it's New Orleans, Seattle, San Francisco. That's it. One of those three teams going to the Super Bowl. The Niners are good enough on defense to go to the Super Bowl. I'm just flat telling you. They are good enough on defense to go to the Super Bowl.
I still think Seattle scares me more, but I think some of that's history related as much as anything. Because 49ers are very, very good. But I think if you still told me, hey, you got to play one of those teams in an NFC title game, I'll play the 49ers.
Absolutely.
I don't want Seattle.
Russell Wilson? And that receiver core that
he's got?
It's
funny how wrong we were, because we kind of thought their window had closed last year.
Yeah, Pete Carroll.
They opened that bad boy back up.
Pete Carroll's a legitimately great coach. Maybe cheeseball and all that stuff, but for whatever reason, he's Bill Belichick light. He's able to sort of take pieces that other people cast off and fit them into his system. And he's got a very, very good quarterback. Amazing. The teams we're talking about could go to the Super Bowl. They all have great quarterbacks. Shocking. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson. Guys that if you said, hey, okay, you're going to have an NFL team and we're going to give you this guy as your quarterback. And someone says, we're going to give you Russell Wilson. You go, okay, cool, we'll roll with that. Can I have some big receivers? I can? Cool.
Mm-hmm. It's football in general. You know what your identity is. You develop a pattern for it. It's the fear with Ole Miss right now for so many fans is, hey, are we switching our identity and are we prepared for that? What is our identity? That's football at every level.
Yeah.
Especially in college, but in the NFL too. What is our system? What do we do? I mean, it's why Wisconsin, despite not recruiting very well, is pretty good year over year over year because forever they've been, hey, this is what we do.
Well, yeah.
It's one of the
– Iowa's that way.
I mean, it's why, you know, from a look of, hey, what's fair and not fair. And look, there is no fair in college sports. It is what it is. You get paid a lot of money and you win or you don't and you move on to the next one. But, I mean, you know, the best example of that back in the day was Bill Callahan takes over at Nebraska. He's going, hey, we're going to open this bad boy up. We're going to do this. Well, Nebraska had been recruiting this other system forever. I mean, with Chad Morris. Look, they were bad. Don't get me wrong. He had no prayer of really winning. Their team wasn't set up for this.
No.
Their program wasn't ready for this. And everybody goes, hey, we're going to give him time. No, you're not. You don't give him time.
Well, his deal was, I mean, not
they still shouldn't lose San Jose State. I mean, I understand all that. I'm just.
Yeah. I think he lost his team.
Which is the biggest problem. Yeah.
When you lose your team in September, it's hard to hide that. You can lose your team in mid-November and sort of hide it down the stretch. Can't hide it when you lose them in September for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
That team showed a big pulse in Arlington against A&M and then never again.
So they were good that day.
So something happened in the immediate aftermath of that I'm sure will come out at some point.
Yeah. December coming up in a week, or actually a little less than a week now. So be prepared for all the different events going on in Oxford this December, including the Christmas parade, the holiday house tours, and more. You can spend your holidays in Oxford. Enjoy the festive activities such as the season, including the holiday concert by the Midtown Men, the downtown Christmas tree lighting, the holiday ornament auction, all happening this next month. You can also visit Santa and visit Oxford. You have the holiday village, the elf scavenger hunt, and much more. So check out the historic Oxford Square and the events to come at visitoxfordms.com or popupoxfordms.com.
We're now 4 weeks away from Christmas. Don't let yourself be the person that gets caught in the hustle and bustle of last-minute shopping. Our friends at Blue Delta are offering gift cards for their bespoke raw denim jeans for $100 off. It's a great way to treat your friends and family with a Mississippi-made product for the holidays. Drop by the Oxford studio to purchase or get in touch with Blue Delta on their social media or at info@bluedeltajeans.com to have a gift card mailed to you anywhere in the world. Additionally, Blue Delta will be in the 30A area this week. So if you're in the Florida Gulf Coast and you want to get fitted, reach out to Blue Delta this Thanksgiving week. Dead Soxy is running a BOGO this week. Use the code RG19 to redeem. What you have to do is put both items in your cart before checkout, and then the BOGO will kick in, and you'll pay for one, and you'll get one free. That's how that works. It applies to all items on the website, bundles, and individual sacks. Socks. There is a catch. Only one BOGO per transaction. So if you want to get six things and get six things free, you just need to do six different transactions. Does that take a little more time? Yeah, but you're saving money, and that's the whole point, right? They're an advertiser, so we're kind of letting you guys understand how to trick the system a little bit to maximize the sale. You can use the code for an unlimited number of transactions. Each item or bundle that you want a BOGO on, just complete a separate transaction. Again, the code RG19. It's that simple. Remember to put both items in. You don't have to have a degree from here to figure this out. RG19, load up your sock wardrobe for the year with this incredible offer from Dead Soxy. We're also brought to you by Oxford Park Commission. If you need a gift idea for your kids this holiday season, the Oxford Park Commission recommends signing up for the 2020 spring soccer season. If you played in the fall, rejoin your team for just $25. If you didn't and you want to play, it's $50. Leagues are open for ages 5 to 15. The deadline to sign up is December the 22nd. For more information, visit oxfordparkcommission.com. The Ole Miss men's hoops team is back on the Craddock Court on Tuesday, December the 3rd at 6 p.m. for a pivotal non-conference showdown with the Butler Bulldogs, who kicked Missouri's ass last night. Tickets start at just $10 and can be purchased at olemisstix.com. That's olemisstix.com. Join the Ole Miss women's hoops team back in action tonight at 6 p.m. as they take on Sam Houston State. Tickets can be purchased by visiting olemisstix.com. The Ole Miss volleyball team returns to the Gillum Center for their home finale, I can't read all of a sudden, versus Missouri at 6 p.m. Admission is free. More info can be found at olemisssports.com. And the 2019 Hoops SEC Mini Plan is on sale now. $175, receive a ticket to all nine SEC home games this season in the pavilion. Visit olemisstix.com, get your SEC Mini Plan for $175. And calling all Jackson area Rebels, join the men's hoops team in the Mississippi Coliseum on Saturday, December the 21st, 1 p.m., as they take on Southeastern Louisiana. Skip the lines. Pre-order your tickets now by visiting olemisstix.com.
Seeing this on ESPN this morning, I haven't read it yet, but it looks like a long form on the relationship between Andy Burcham and Rob Bramblett, the Auburn former radio guy who was killed in the wreck with his wife earlier this calendar year. Just kind of struck me a little bit here as a
they were very good
tough
friends.
Deal. So something maybe to read today, something to go through, because yeah, I'm sure it's a touching story, just tragedy still this time later.
Rod was hard to get to know. I knew him a little bit. Rob's hard to get to know. Andy, I've known Andy for a long time. Andy, salt of the earth. Really great, great guy.
What'd they do replacing him? What?
Andy.
Oh, that was just a step down. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I think it was the move they had to make. Move that made sense. By the way, Missouri is getting their ruling today.
Today.
According to Gabe.
Okay.
Who is furious because he can't get an answer from the NCAA as to how this works. He's getting their out-of-office reply to his email.
You talking to Siri? Or was that mine?
That was your Siri. See? Come on.
Whoa. That was interesting. Seeing this, Zach put it up on our board. TD embracing with Drake last night at one point. So
things are going well for TD.
If it's a TD's, he's hanging in there all right.
No, last night, in fact, and this was pointed out on Twitter, I saw it early in the season, and even recently, they put him in, and in their offense, it was been kind of, hey, go stand over on the side. We'll kick it out to you if you're open. He's running pick and rolls now. He's involved in their offense, which tells me that Nick Nurse...
A little more.
Nick Nurse really likes him. And the one thing about Terrence that I think is going to make him really emerge in the NBA is Terrence is very coachable. He listened to Andy. He listened to Kermit. He's listening to Nick Nurse.
He's being efficient as hell right now, too, on the court.
Yeah.
I mean, just efficient. I mean, good.
Taking good shots.
Raptors at 12-4 on the season. They would be the four seed right now, but it's a pretty loaded top half of the Eastern Conference. Bucks, Heat, Celtics, Raptors right there, kind of all mixed together within a game and a half of one another. Let's see. He actually had his picture up on the Raptors page on ESPN.com as I'm clicking through. So
happy for Terrence, man. I say this all the time, and it's easy for me because I don't have fandom. I don't cheer for teams really, but I cheer for Terrence, man. I'm excited for him.
Last five games, minutes 16, 21, 27, 17, 21.
Yeah, no, he's carved out quite a niche on a good team. It's a perfect team for him.
I mean, it was just the gods coming down and going right here.
Yeah,
this is the place, the right organization grabbing you.
Well, they've got bigs. They've got good guards. They've got an elite scorer in Siakam. There's no part of Terrence Davis, at least not for the first couple of years of his career, who's ever thinking to himself, you know, I'm the man on this team. No, mm-hmm. No. Pascal Siakam is the man on your team.
Yeah.
And so he fits into a role, and he's done it really, really well.
What's his ceiling? He's a rookie. What's his ceiling?
Oh, I think now his ceiling is starting NBA shooting guard.
Just productive and however long he can go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Toronto's roster set up for that to be there for him one day?
I'd have to study it a little more, but yeah, I think so.
Okay.
He's got a shot. Real good spot. He just needs, right now, needs to just keep doing what he's doing. Be a rookie, be a sponge, play your role. All good.
He is currently, he's averaging 14.7 minutes, but that number is going up quickly. He's 49.3% from the field. He is 45% from three on the year, and he has not missed a free throw this season.
Yeah.
That is his game to this point. Averaging 6.3, but again, that's coming up too. He set career highs in three straight games there at one point in the last 10 days or so.
Doors Rules 28 makes a great point in the chat. Make that next contract is the goal.
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah.
Be a really good citizen for the next two plus seasons.
And then all of a sudden we...
Yeah, now you figure out what you want to do.
You're cooking and it'll be what it'll be.
Yeah. But if you're Toronto, you're thrilled with him. And if you're TD, you're thrilled with Toronto. It's a good place to be right now. Nick Nurse is a great coach for a kid like him. He's perfect. Like you said, it is almost like the basketball god said, no, hold up. We're going to fit you in the perfect spot.
You don't take the two-way with the Nuggets, and you hold on, and then here you go.
Yeah. I'm so happy for the kid, though. One of my favorite kids. Everybody who covered Terrence likes him. It's a cool story. It's a really cool story when you think about it. I know it was repetitive. How many people told him, you can't do this?
Mm-hmm.
How many people told him, you've picked the wrong sport, dummy? And he just never budged. If anything, it fueled him. He just worked harder.
Ole Miss plays Penn State Wednesday afternoon, 4 o'clock, I think, is tip for that one.
What ESPN 2.
Okay. Then the winners, losers get Syracuse, Oklahoma State on Friday. There's a day off.
They flew in the New York last night.
Yeah, I saw that. We will have a hand raise, guys, after the Egg Bowl on Thursday night. So if you're still hopped up on turkey and want to come hang out and chill with us, we'll have that show. It should be a hoot, I would assume.
Interesting.
I think it'll be interesting. I think it'll be one of our.
I'm going to have to make myself slow down at times so that I've got.
Yeah, because I'm not hitting the button until like 9:45.
Uh-oh.
It's going to be one of those type nights. So we'll have a hand raise, guys, on Thursday. We'll talk to all you then. I really don't know what our schedule is the rest of the week. We'll figure that out. We'll let you know.
What are we doing tomorrow?
I don't know. That's why I said okay. We'll talk about it in a minute. We'll figure out what's next. But anyway, still plenty there. Go to rebelgrove.com. We'll have some more Egg Bowl coverage and more coming up for you in the coming days. And either way, no matter what we decide, we will talk to you again soon. Take care.